Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm really excited to be here today. I don't know if you have noticed or not, but I haven't been here in a couple weeks, and last week I was pretty miserable, not feeling well, and so I'm really, really glad to be back today with you all. And I, as John said, I get the opportunity to kick off our Christmas season, so that's exciting. My favorite time of year. My kids made me hold off. I don't like it when Thanksgiving is so late in the month because I want to celebrate Christmas. I love Thanksgiving, but Christmas, there's just something about bringing that Jesus into everything. And so we bring him into our Thanksgiving, and then we get to carry him out through the end of the year. We should carry him all year long, though. So we're going to be talking today about the wise men. But first, let's open up in prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I pray that this morning that as we hear from your word, Lord God, and this message that you have prepared, Lord, and that you've helped me prepare, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts what you want us to hear today, Lord God. And let it be exactly, Lord God, what you want for us to take into this Christmas season. We thank you for that, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. I always have to get used to this microphone. I'm not quite used to that, so if I keep messing with it, I apologize. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to be reading from the NIV today, and we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm just going to read through this, so if you want to turn there, you can follow along with me. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where the Messiah was to be born? "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Okay, we're going to stop right there. So this morning, I want to focus a little bit in on something the Lord's been showing me about response. And we're going to talk today about the response of the wise men. So first, let's get to know them a little bit. Very little is known about the wise men. Many people, you'll hear say the three kings or three wise men when they discuss them, but actually the Bible doesn't actually say how many of these men there were. The number three has probably come about because they were known for bringing three gifts. So the wise men have been called a couple different things depending on which translation of the Bible you read. The New King James Version calls them wise men. The NIV refers to them, just as we read, as the Magi, which is actually where our word magic comes from. So basically what these men were was they would be what we would call a type of ancient astrologer. They watched the sky. They looked for signs. Many in that day believed that stars were divine beings that talked to us. And that was these men's job. They were looking for communication from the gods. I think a lot of times we get this picture that these wise men were, that they were Jewish, and they were looking for looking for their Savior when they came to look for Jesus. But actually, there's nothing written in the Bible but that says that. And they were looking for communication from the gods. Kings would many times consult wise men in that day to receive advice on all kinds of things. They'd consult them. You see that in the Old Testament a lot in the stories where the kings would call upon their wise men to give them advice on who to attack, when to attack, different things. Interpret dreams is a lot of things, a lot of times that what they would call them for. So then we're going to go, now that we kind of know a little bit about them, I don't know if that was interesting to any of you. I kind of thought that was interesting because I've never really thought about the wise men before. They were just the guys in the nativity that came to worship Jesus. So I was like, oh, well, of course, they're, holy men. And like, well, they were basically astrologers. So these astrologers saw the star, and they recognized it as the star that would announce the birth of a special king in Israel, the one that was to rule Israel. And it was a fulfillment of a prophecy that spoke of a special Jewish savior, the one that the Jews were waiting for. They just had to go and see this amazing king. So they gathered their kingly gifts and followed that star, which took them right through Jerusalem. And I'm sure that at this point they're thinking, okay, Jerusalem, like this is the place that these people will know what's going on, where we're going, where this king is. Made total sense. So they started asking around. Well, the king heard about this, and it says in verse 3 there that it disturbed him and all of Jerusalem. Now, the king was not a very nice person. He was known to even kill people in his family. So he wasn't a really great guy. And he was probably not real excited to hear of this king that people were going to worship and celebrate. And so he secretly brought these men in and asked them, where are you going, whatever. A few deep questions about what their, deal was. Tried to get him, get them to be on his side or kind of, like, hey, I want to worship him too. So when you find him, you should come back. So he sends them on his way, their way, toward Bethlehem, which was about 5.5 miles from Jerusalem. Hoping that these men would report back to him so that he could go and take care of the competition. So at this point, I just want to stop and have you think about what the wise men must be thinking at this point. There was a king born. They saw his star in the sky. They knew that he was born. And yet, when they went to Jerusalem, nobody knew about it. There was no big celebrations going on. They weren't, you would think that if there was a king born, that Jerusalem would know about it. And I was thinking about how I would feel as one of these wise men who knew their stuff. They studied the stars. I would be confused. I would be a little bit confused. I would probably be questioning this journey that I was on just a little bit. I would be spending my time and my money bringing these gifts to a king, and yet nobody knew about him. Nobody knew where he was. But here's the thing. The Bible doesn't say anything about any sort of hesitation on the part of these wise men. They didn't stop and have, hey, let's stick around here and see if we can figure out what's going on. So they're on this journey, and when it didn't look like what they thought it should, they simply kept seeking. They simply kept going. When the whole town didn't seem to know what was going on, and it seemed strange, they kept seeking. When it meant more time before they reached their goal, when it meant more travel, more money, they pressed on. All these men were trying to do was to bring their gifts to this king, and he wasn't in Jerusalem, and they just kept going. So I had to ask the question, why? See, these men made it their business to know what the stars meant. There wasn't a time at which they looked at each other and said, well, I guess we messed up on that one and went home. They had spent their lives making sure that they knew their stuff. And their response was to trust what they knew. So they moved on and followed the star. Verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. The star stopped over a house, just a house. And what was their response? They didn't say they were confused. It said they were overjoyed. They had finally found the place that they were looking for. They found the king that they were looking for. How fancy was the house? Did it look like a king lived there? Probably not. But they came into that humble house, saw that child, and bowed down. They honored him and his mother. They gave their generous gifts to a simple woman, a simple man, and a child in these simple surroundings. Without hesitation, they worshiped him. What they had known before this moment that led them there, when they saw him, this little baby, in this humble place, what they knew before then, they saw him as king. The wise men were the first worshipers of Jesus in the Bible, and they weren't even from this land. These wise men were pagan astrologers, and yet their response to this baby, who we know as our personal savior, but they didn't claim him as theirs. They knew that he was to be worshipped. He was worth the search. He was worth the journey, worth the time, worth the money. Before they saw him in his humble household, and yet even after they saw him in this humble household, they didn't hesitate when they called him king. Their response to baby Jesus came from trusting what they knew over what they even saw. They knew that the star meant, they knew what it meant. They knew that it meant that that was the king. And nothing that happened along the way kept them from that path. So I'm going to switch gears just here for just a minute. We're going to talk about responses from a man of faith in the Bible. See, whereas the wise men were pagans, there are so many stories in the Bible about responses from people of faith. And so I want to take a look at one of my favorites today, and I want to talk a little bit about Daniel. He's one of my favorite, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the story of Daniel. As I read the book of Daniel, I see him in the lion's den, which is a, you know, childhood story. We all know the story of the lion's den, or most of us probably do. And I think, wow, that is a man of faith. I wish that I had that kind of faith. I could only hope that I would have faith to stand up for what I believe in when I knew it meant certain death. But in order to see how Daniel got this faith, we have to go back to see where his response was coming from. So if you want to turn in your Bible to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 talks about that it was on Daniel's heart to pray three times a day. Now, Daniel's people were in exile. He was in a position that had kings calling on him from time to time. He interpreted dreams. This man had plenty to pray about. Daniel had plenty to pray about. His job situation had to be stressful. The people there were looking for him to mess up. Have you ever felt that way, like your coworkers were out to get you? Well, that was Daniel's life at this point. But three times a day, he prayed. He thanked God, and he asked God for help. Most of you know this story. And Daniel's co-workers came up with a plan to get him killed by convincing the king to make it illegal to pray to anyone but the king. So the king signs it into law, and what does Daniel do? If you look in verse 10 in chapter 6, it says, "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, what did he do? He went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God." See, he didn't just go and pray because things were bad. He went home and knelt down as usual. Okay? He didn't hesitate. He didn't stop because of the danger. He trusted what he knew. God had called him to pray, and so 3 times a day he thanked God. 3 times a day he laid his requests before God, and he listened to God. Daniel knew the consequences at this point for praying, but he stuck to what he knew. His response was already there. And so he didn't hesitate. He trusted that God's plan was in motion, and he trusted his part in that. And when the fight came, Daniel focused on what he knew, on who he knew. And God saved him from those lions. He saved him from those co-workers. And just because God is so amazing and good, he even brought that king to a place where he was worshiping God as well. I can't tell you how many times I've gone through something in my life, and looking back, I think, I just wish that I had trusted God first in that situation without hesitation. But we go to what we know first, what we practice. So the question today that I would ask you is, what do you know? What do you practice? Where is your focus? The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." See, I want to run with perseverance without hesitation. I want a perfect faith. But according to this verse right here, if that's what I want, I better be fixing my eyes on that little baby who grew up to be my Savior. Whatever you focus on becomes what you know. And I need to know him. If you focus on your fear, you're going to fear first. If you focus on your anxiety, you will be anxious first. However, practice focusing on knowing Jesus, your faith will arise. Pretty soon you will find that situations won't change your focus because you were never focused on situations to begin with. Did you hear that? You'll find that your situations won't change your focus because the situations are not what you're focused on. Even those wise men found Jesus, they didn't focus on what they found along the way. They looked above the circumstances and focused on that star. That was what they knew, and when that star stopped, they rejoiced. Daniel was focused on God above all else, and his response was directly connected to what he knew of God from his time with God, focusing on God. See, our response should be a direct link to what we know of who God is, not a link to the circumstances that we see. So many times we find ourselves in these places where our journey didn't take us where we thought it would. Maybe the job that we thought we could get didn't come through, or we lost a job that we thought we would have forever. Maybe we thought we would be married by now or have kids by now. Maybe people that you counted on walked away. And in that moment, what is your response? Is it linked to your circumstances or is it linked to your God? If you don't know who he is, you need to know him. Get in the word. Carve out a place and have it be your secret place and talk to him and listen to him. Because if someone told you, hey, would you like to come and have an appointment with God and just sit with him and talk with him and hear what he has to say and get your, you know, get his direction and get his, you know, so that you knew what to do tomorrow in whatever situation. Like if you could have an appointment with God where you literally just sat down with him, you'd be like, sign me up. I want to know what this plan is. I want to know what this deal is. But here's the thing. We have that. We have access to God. The key is practice what you want to know. Practice doesn't mean you're perfect immediately. Practice means practice. You want to know God more? Be close to his heart so that your response can be to him and not your circumstances? Then get to know him. Let him become what you want to know. Let him become what you want to know. As we go into this time, this December Christmas season, remembering Jesus' birth and the great gift that God gave us, can we purpose in our hearts to be intentional about getting to know him? He was so intentional about us. He is so intentional about us. Let your prayer time be a meeting with a mentor and not a trip to Santa's lap with your lists of requests and concerns. Make it a time where you truly seek him and listen. Be intentional about it the way Daniel was. Allow him to begin to shape your response to life and even your thought processes in the secret place of prayer. So can we start today? Can we just decide today on this first day of December to make this whole month about getting to know him? For some of you, that may be, you may be in that process and you just want to go deeper. You want to know more in your knowledge of God and how he fits into your life and what he would say about your life. For some of you, it may be that you had dedicated to that and now you're in a place where you've kind of, you know, allowed your focus to kind of get off onto something else. And for some of you, it may be that you've never really thought about it that way before. Can we just decide today? It really is just a decision. It really is. Just a decision to know him more. That when you pray, rather than just pray and jump up, to pray and then sit and just be in his presence for a few more minutes. You would be completely amazed, if you haven't done it before, what it is to completely just sit with the Lord and let him talk to you. There was an exercise that we did in Discover Ministry School first year. And we were challenged for a week to spend 5 minutes a day just listening to God. I am not really good at that. I'm not really good at just sitting quietly without thoughts just stirring in my head. And so I had to have, you know, you sit there for a minute and then you're like, oh, wait, I gotta, or, oh, you know, whatever. So I had to actually put a picture in my mind of the throne of God, just what I, you know, my own image of that, and actively listen, like expect an answer. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm waiting, and then just sit and listen. And in those few moments of just five minutes, it will blow your mind what the Lord would say to you. But practice it. If you don't necessarily hear something one day, do it again the next day. Don't let circumstances dictate to you your relationship with your Lord. Let God dictate it. Let him say. Maybe he just wants you to be quiet for a little while. Have that peace for a few minutes. And in December, hustle and bustle is the key words of the month. But I will tell you that if you are intentional about God, you will find that he is so intentional about you. So would you just stand with me? I want you to respond to the Lord. You each know where you are with him. You each know what he would say to you as far as, you know, where you're at in the scheme of things. When he, you know, if you're that person who just wants to go deeper, or you've never really thought about doing that before, you know where you're at. And so would you just meet him in that place? I want to just take a moment and be quiet. And would you just meet him in that place and allow him to tell you what he would have for you to meet with him this month? So we'll just take a moment and then I'll pray. So just close your eyes and let's just be with God for just a moment. I'm going to say a prayer to close our service, but if you want to make that commitment today, Lord God, we want to be intentional about you. I want to be more intentional about you. I want my response to be a response to you, not to my circumstances. Would you just, while I'm praying, would you just lift your hand up to him like you're volunteering and saying, Lord God, yes, I that's me. That's where I want to be. And allow him to just respond to your response. Father God, we just come before you today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your gift. We thank you for your gift, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for your word that you speak to us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have left here to be with us, Lord God. Lord, we want to respond to you. We want to respond to you, Lord God, not our circumstances. And so, Lord, today we declare that we want to be intentional about you. We want to be intentional about practicing getting to know you. We want to be intentional in our prayers. We want to hear you, Lord God, when we meet with you. We want your influence in our lives, Lord God. Lord, let our response be to you and to who you are. And as the winds and the waves come, Lord God, let us stand on you, our anchor, Lord God, in the storms. Lord, root us in what we know and let what we know be you. Root us there, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and be with you. Lord, we want to be with you every day. We want to be with you. We want to know you, Lord God. We want your input into our lives and into our decisions, Lord God. So, Lord, today we just lay down anything that would keep us from running with you. We lay it all down, Lord God. Lord, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, Lord, every day, Lord, help us to be intentional about you. Thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. And thank you for this season where we just get to be with you and spend this whole time just focusing on your gift and on who you are, Lord. And let us always be intentional. Grow us in our faith, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.